All right. Let me make this a little bit bigger. We can get rid of this.
Thank you.
All right. So we're continuing our discussion about angels, Malachim. I did a lot more research over the weekend, found some really, really good articles. And there's a lot of fascinating material on this topic. Tonight, we're not going to be able to cover everything. We'll probably have to cover some of the later stuff next week. Actually, what I want to do tonight is we're going to look only at primary sources. And by primary sources, I mean Psukim in Tanakh and open Mefurash, Midrashim, and Gemarot that mention angels. And let's see what kind of conclusions we can come to on our own before we jump to the Rishonim and the Achronim and the way that they see angels, and especially before we jump to Kabbalah. In other words, everything we're seeing tonight, there's nothing mystical about it. This is all in our mainstream tradition. These are things that are mentioned in Tanakh, and they're by extension mentioned in our Sidurim. We mention them every day. We talk about them in a very, very regular manner. So let's kick it off. Everybody can hear me okay? Okay, perfect. Okay, so I took these sources mostly from a specific article that I found online, and I kind of rearranged them a little bit to give it some structure. And so we're going to look at first in Tanakh, and we're going to see specifically mentions of angels and kind of being the host that accompany God. In other words, the images that we're going to see now are angels when they are surrounding God. Okay, so this is a pasuk in Malachim. Vayomer lachen shma dvar Hashem ra'iti et Hashem yoshev al kiso v'chol tzva hashamayim omed alav mimino u'mismolo. Okay, so this is a Navi saying that he saw Hashem and he saw kol tzva hashamayim, all the celestial beings that were standing to his right and to his left. It's a Navi seeing it in Nevuah. Almost all of these cases, of course, are going to be through Nevuah. These are not cases where you're seeing things or a story is being described as actually happening in the waking world. These are all in Nevuot. So this is imagery that a Navi is being subjected to. Another pasuk, Divrei Yami, Vayomer lachen shim'u dvar Hashem, ra'iti et Hashem yoshev al kiso, v'chol tzva Hashem omdim al yimino u'smolo. Almost identical psukim. Vayomer Hashem, yifateh et Achav melech Yisrael. So this is a story that's being told that he overheard the Hashem saying to the angels, who's going to trick Achav? V'ya'al v'yipol b'ramot gilad, Vayomer zeh omer kacha, v'zeh omer kacha, Vayetze, one of the angels, one of the ruchot, comes out and says, I'll trick him. And he says, I'm going to speak in the ear of some of the Nevi'im, and I'll become a ruach sheker, and I'm going to trick everybody. So here you have an angel that's doing something at the behest of Hashem, but it's kind of mischievous, right? It's doing a trickery. It's going to trick some Nevi'im. It's going to trick people into doing the wrong thing. And Hashem gives his license. Netan Hashem ruach sheker b'fin Nevi'acha ela v'Hashem diber elecha ra'ah. Okay, so again, this is an angel that's interacting with God directly. Here we have a famous scene. The same scene occurs both to Yeshayahu and Yechezkel. You would do well to remember this. You have the Psukim in Yeshayahu Perek Vav, and the Psukim in Yechezkel Perek Aleph, seeing almost the exact same scene. But as the Gemara points out, Yeshayahu is kind of seeing it from the inside. Yeshayahu is considered kind of an insider with God, whereas Yechezkel is kind of an outsider, kind of a peasant, as it were. But they both see the same thing. Bishnat mot ha-melech uziyahu v'aret al-shem yoshev al-kisei ram v'nisa v'shulav mele'im et ha-hechal. Sees God sitting on his throne. Serafim omdim mima'al lo, shesh knafayim, shesh knafayim. So one thing that I want to point out over here that we're going to get back to later is that we have here different classes of angels. You have here Serafim. The Serafim are omdim mima'al. They're the highest. Shesh knafayim le'echad, b'shtayim yichaseh panav, u'b'shtayim yichaseh raglav, u'b'shtayim yofef. You can imagine this imagery. A lot of discussion about this imagery, but it basically says that they have six wings that cover different parts of his body. Some cover his face, some cover his feet, some cover, and two are used for flying. So you actually get physical imagery about the angels, which you don't usually get. These are psukim that we say every single day. We're quoting the angels when we say them. And then he sees the room being filled with smoke. He gets very, very afraid, Yeshayahu. And then the scene continues. I don't want to go too deep into that scene. But Yecheskel sees basically the same thing. Yecheskel sees, I'll find it over here. He actually sees more. He says, Dmut arba chayot. He sees the chayot. Yeshayahu doesn't see the chayot. He only sees the seraphim. Yecheskel sees chayot. Dmut adam lehena, v'arba panim le'achat, v'arba knafayim le'achat lehem. And he describes what they look like. They have faces. And he sees their feet. And he continues. And then actually afterwards, he's going to see. Let me see if I can find it. He's more chayot. He sees the chayot, ratzov vashov, which is a phrase we find by Malachim, that they go back and forth. They're kind of oscillating, flashing back and forth. This is what's called the Maaseh Merkava, by the way, because the imagery that Yecheskel sees is like a chariot. He sees some angels on the bottom that are called the Ofanim. Okay, that's the Ofanim v'chayot HaKodesh, the Ofanim and the Chayot on top of them. And then the Seraphim are actually going to be on top. It's interesting. I can't find the Seraphim now. Does anybody see the Seraphim over here? I only see Chayot and Ofanim. Maybe that's how it went. Maybe it was that Yeshayahu saw the Seraphim and Yecheskel saw the Ofanim and the Chayot. That could be. I don't remember. But there's an interesting story that they tell about the first Lubavitch Rebbe, Rishner Zalman Eliadi, when all the fights were going on between the Hasidim and the Misnagdim. One of the things that they were fighting about was that the Hasidim had kind of radical behaviors during Tefillah. And one of them was that they would shout during Tefillah. You know, you ever see Brusselvers, they clap and they jump. And so the early Hasidim, the really early Hasidim, they were very much criticized. They would, they were very much criticized because they would do somersaults and act like crazy people. That's the original, the early, early Hasidim. They tempered their ways. But one of the things that they did, that they continued to do, is to shout during davening, to shout out responses, Amen, et cetera, et cetera. So supposedly the Baal Latanya, or Shneur Zaman Miliadi, so he explained and he said, listen, I have to tell the truth. In our great humility, we have to say that you meet Nagdim, you're much closer to God. So you're like the Seraphim. And we're not as close. We're like the Ofanim and the Chayot HaKodesh that are the lower angels. But what's the difference between the Seraphim and the Chayot HaKodesh? What's the difference between them in the Tefillah? Who goes first? Who are the ones who say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh? We just read it before. That's the Seraphim, right? And then what does it say right afterwards? After we say Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvachot Melech La'aretz Kvodo, V'hafonim v'chayot HaKodesh,
B'rash
Gadol Mitnasim, right? So B'rash Gadol Mitnasim L'umat HaSeraphim. So it's the Ofanim v'chayot HaKodesh, the lower angels, they shout louder, right? Barash Gadol. It doesn't say that the Seraphim are Barash Gadol. So their name is Amin Miyadi. He used to say, listen, you guys are like the Seraphim, and we're like the Ofanim Achayot HaKodesh. We're a little bit further away. So we need to shout a little bit louder. We're Barash Gadol. It's an interesting thing. I'm actually always Makbid. Since I heard this idea, this story, I am Makbid that, the text says it's supposed to be Barash Gadol. So L'chaura, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto L'Olam Va'ed needs to be louder than Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So anyways, this is another...
By the way, I've been at Carlin Stollen on Motzei Yom Kippur, and they scream. I've been there when they've benched the Kiddush Levana, and they scream at the top of their lungs.
Yeah, that's their tradition. So these two are very famous stories, very similar stories, Yeshayahu and Yecheskel. This is called the Maaseh Merkava. Then we have, there's actually several imagery, several cases in Zechariah Hanavi where he sees angels. This is just one of them. So here we have the Satan. By the way, it's always Hasatan. It's never Satan, which is interesting.
Why is that?
So it could be that Hasatan is actually his name, and it's not Satan. But not sure. Or it could be actually that Satan. I know this. I think is what they say. Satan is not a name. Satan simply means adversary. It means somebody who goes against. Lisitno is a verb, right? Omed alimino lisitno, to corrupt him, to cause him to go in the wrong direction. So you know, we capitalize the word Satan, S-A-T-A-N, as if that's his name. But it's not his name. It's that's just a description. He is Hasatan. He's the adversary. It's not the actual name of the angel. The angel might actually have a different name. We'll get to that maybe later. So over here, Zechariah is seeing the Satan, who's getting ready to corrupt and mislead Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. Vayomer Hashem al Satan, Yigar Hashem becha Hasatan, Vigar Hashem becha Bocher Yerushalayim. Hello, ze ud mutzal me'esh. So we're not going to get into all of this imagery, but what we do see over here is that once again, you have a specific angel that's coming from, you know, from in front of God. We know that from other sources, to corrupt people. How do we know that he comes from before God? Because of the Psukim in Iyov. This is the very beginning of Iyov. Vahiyah yom vayavo bnei Elohim litiatzev al Hashem. Bnei Elohim in this case is definitely talking about angels. It doesn't always talk about angels, but here it definitely does. Litiatzev al Hashem vayavo gam hasatan betocham. So the Satan is one of the angels that gets to stand in front of Hashem with all these other angels. That story we all know, where the Satan gets permission to go out and cause tsar to Iov because he wants to show, because Hashem wants to show him how great he is. Okay. So here we have this idea that Hashem has this kind of like posse almost. That's around him, these Malachi Hashem that are with him. But now I want to shift perspective and not look so much at what's going on in Shemayim, but actually what's going on earth. Where do we find Psukim in Tanakh that talk about angels operating on earth, not in dreams, but in actual reality while people are awake? Now, some of these are actually under dispute. The last time that we met, we discussed how the Rambam thinks that anytime an angel shows up in a story, it's always going to be in a dream or in a nevuah. But that's not the simple meaning of the text. And if we don't assume the Rambam, then here are cases where angels actually show up in front of people. So you have over here, what's this talking about? So this just a couple of weeks ago in Parshas Lech Lecha, there's somebody in Parshas Lech Lecha and Vayera who gets to see angels. She basically gets to see angels twice. I gave it away by saying she. This is Hagar who sees angel al ha'ayin b'derech shur. And then once again, Vayishma Elohim at kol hanar Vayikra Malach Elohim el Hagar min hashamayim Vayir Malach Malach Hagar. I always love that, right? What does the Malach say? The Malach says Malach Hagar. There's got to be something on that. I don't know. Is everybody getting it? It's a pun. Malach Hagar. Somebody's got to say something about that.
Malach. Malach Hagar. Malach.
Exactly.
We get it.
It's not a Malach. It's Malach. It's a Malach.
I don't know if that makes
Malach
a difference.
Malach is a sailor. This is a Malach.
You're right. But I don't know if that makes a difference. It still says Malach Hagar, which I think is close enough to not be a mistake. But okay.
Is there context here about specifically interaction between malachim and people as opposed to malachim and their own activities on earth?
Well, that's what I'm showing over here. We're going to see a whole range over here in Tanakh of cases where angels seem to interact with our world in the physical sense, in some cases interacting with people, in some cases doing things. Up until now, everything that we saw was kind of angels interacting with God. Now we're seeing angels interacting with man.
Yeah. The Gemara is full of these stories as well.
Right, so we're going to start with Tanakh. We'll get to the Gemara and Midrashim. As I said at the beginning, I just want to look at primary sources and get a feel for what we have in our original tradition before we move on to Rishonim and Acharonim, who kind of classify things and explain things and maybe explain away things, like we said, like the Rambam would say over here, perhaps that, well, he doesn't perhaps, he says that these things are dreams. Let's assume for now that these things are all happening in real life. So, Hagar has two cases where she gets to see angels. Vaikrailav Malach Hashem in Hashemai Verma Avraham Avraham Vayomer Hineini. This was just last week, 2 weeks ago, during the Akedah. Avram is called out to by an angel to tell him to stop, which is interesting because it was God who sent him on his original journey, but apparently it was enough for a Malach Hashem, which we assume is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo va'atzmo, but rather some kind of emissary, a malach, an agent, that gets sent to tell him to stop. And that was enough. And then, of course, right after that, actually not right after that, right before that, v'yavo shnei ha-malachim sdoma ba'erev v'lot yoshev b'shar sdom. So here we see, you know, angels totally interacting with people, right? They come to visit Lot. Even if it doesn't say specifically that they're angels by Avraham, it definitely says it by Lot. And it's clear that they're meant to be angels in the story of Lot.
Also in Eliezer, it's not in the Pshat, but Eliezer also had a Malach that followed, that shortened the way to a...
Right, so that would be in a Midrash. That would be in a Midrash. Mm-hmm. But not in the text, not in the actual Pesukim,
no.
It doesn't say anything. Right. Vayisa malach Elohim alech lifnei machane Yisrael vayelech me'acharim vayisa amud ha'anan. So here, this is a less well-known. All the miracles that were happening to Bnei Israel, so some of them are done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu again, b'chvodu va'atzmo, but some of them are assigned to malachim. So over here you have a malach Elohim who's going in front of machane Yisrael as they're traveling away from the Egyptians, protecting them from the Egyptians, essentially. Right, he's walking in front of, well, here he's leading them. This malach is actually leading them. So he's kind of, it's not clear actually whether he's before or behind the Bnei Israel, but this is being done by an angel. Okay, now how did this angel look? We don't know. Did it actually look like an entity, or is it just some kind of force? We don't have any indication over here. So here, once again, you have Bilam seeing an angel, right? Similar to the way that Hagar saw an angel, very clearly seeing an angel. Again, we don't know what it looks like, but we know that it's holding a sword, right? Over here, by the way, again, we have the verb lisatan lo. It doesn't mean that it is hasatan. It just means that he's there to attack him, to conflict with him. So that's another case where an angel interacts with man.
So doesn't that challenge the hasatan?
No, this is a verb. Lisatanlo. This is what he's doing. That's not the name of the angel. Again, when I was saying that it always shows up as hasatan, when it's referring to a specific angel who is sent to do something that is satany, so it says hasatan. But even that doesn't mean that his name is Satan. That's kind of just a
simplistic way. Danny, look at your chat.
Yeah, I saw you were sending me other psukim.
Ve'kam Hashem Satan l'Shlomo.
Rekam Hashem Satan Lishlamo. Okay. Again, that's an adversary.
Uh-huh.
That's not even an angel. That's Et Hadad Ha'adomi, what you sent to me.
Okay.
It literally means...
Satano is like an adjective. Okay, cool.
Exactly. It literally means an adversary. It's a person who's set to oppose you. That's what it literally means.
So, the Torah... the Torah gives us actually an earlier reference to a malach. It may be the first one in Bereshit when Adam and Chava are banished from Gan Eden. It says
the Kruvim.
Hakruvim et lahat hacherem hametapechet.
Right, so the Kruvim. If we assume that Kruvim are angels, then yeah.
Rashi identifies them as angels. I'm looking at the Chumash here now.
Yeah, certainly.
That gives us another classification of angels then.
Kruvim? Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Then we have Hamalach HaGoeloti. This could be read poetically, but actually the Ramban doesn't read it poetically. It says this Malach HaGoeloti was a specific malach that Yaakov is referring to when he says Hamalach HaGoeloti mikol ra yivarecha tenarim v'yikare behem shemi v'shem avotei Avraham Yisak v'Yaakov v'yidgu l'arot b'kerev ha'aretz. It's not saying stam Hamalach like, an angel. No, an angel. There was a specific angel that Yaakov felt was always with him. This actually gives rise to the idea of a guardian angel, which doesn't sound like a Jewish idea, but actually it does exist. That we'll see later on sources that say that every single person has an angel that takes care of him. Surprisingly enough, that is a Jewish idea that we can find and trace back to our classic sources. Okay, now we move forward out of Chumash and jump to Shoftim. It says, "Vayal Malach Hashem min haGilgal el haBochim, vayomer aale etchem miMitzrayim, vavi etchem laAretz asher nishpat el avtechem." Okay, so Malach Hashem over here, min haGilgal el haBochim. So here you have, I think this is with which Shofet is in Perek Bet? Which Shofet is in Perek Bet? Let me see. I can't remember now. Quick, somebody tell me which Shofet is in Perek Bet of Shoftim. Let's take a look. No, it's not with the Shofet. It's just talking to the people. Okay, it's just talking to the people. There's a Malach Hashem who comes and he talks to all of Bnei Israel, it looks like. So that's a Malach that shows up in Shoftim. Later on, Oru Meiroz Amar Malach Hashem, Oru Aro Yoshveh, Ki Lo Vao Le'ezrat Hashem, Le'ezrat Hashem Bagiborim. Once again, a Malach comes to speak to the people. And you have several of these cases where Malach comes to talk to the people in Sefer Shoftim. One second, let me just plug in my headphones because they're going to die. Okay. All right. Then if we actually jump forward, we can see. I don't need this. Okay, can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. My headphones were dying and I realized I don't need them anymore. Over here in Shmuel Bet, so at the end of David's life, it says, "Vayiten Hashem dever b'Yisrael mehaboker v'ad eit moed." So there was this terrible plague that was afflicting the people. "Vayishlach yado hamalach Yerushalayim shachata." And this angel comes out to destroy everybody. But then, "Vayinachem Hashem al ha'ra'ah, vayomer ha'malach ha'mashchit ba'am, rava taher fiyadecha, malach Hashem haya im gor na'arna, ha'arnava ha'yubusi." This is right before David HaMelech basically inaugurates the site of the Beit HaMikdash. "Vayomer David al Hashem b'roto at ha'malach ha'makeh ba'am, vayomer hine anochi chatati, v'anochi heveti, ve'ilatzon me'asu tehina yadcha bi uv'beit avi." David HaMelech repents for what he's been doing, counting the people, etc., etc., and he stays the hand of the malach. So here you have a case of a malach actually attacking the Jews instead of attacking the enemies. So here, this is what's called a malach chabala. There's a destructive angel that's there to hurt people. And then, as well over here,
in the opposite direction, this is a pasuk in Divrei Yamim that describes a malach coming out against Sancheriv, Melech Ashur, to destroy his army. So you see that it very, very happens much more often than we realize, or than we, at least that I care to remember, that major events are orchestrated by angels, and not just by regular people, not but just by tzaddikim or giborim or just by Hashem, but are seemingly done by angels. It happens very, very often.
We mentioned last week about that Malach was the one who destroyed Sodom.
Yeah, that's what we saw before with Lot. Over here we have Daniel as well, starting to talk about angels. We're going to get back. We'll return to Daniel in a second, in a big way. We have Daniel describing a scene that he saw. So this is actually, I shouldn't have put this in over here. This is actually a dream that Daniel sees. These are images that he sees. So that actually takes us to the next section. It's really when you get to Daniel that you start to see something new. What do you see for the first time when you get to Daniel? Exactly. You start seeing names. So up until now, all the malachim have been anonymous, assuming that Hasatan is not a name. But until now, everybody's been anonymous. But now we meet our first actual personal malach, like one with a personality.
Sorry, right? The names Gabriel, Michal, they only came up now? They don't exist before Daniel at all?
No.
They're taken so, I mean, you ask any kid, they'll tell you it. It just sounds like you're not going to be some source of information.
Of course, and they really only take off in the secondary sources in the Gemara and in the Midrashim. That's where they really come into their own. But the only place that they actually show up is in Daniel. Okay. Up until now, all the angels have been anonymous. They're just amorphous. We don't know what they look. We don't know what they look like. We don't know if it's ever the same one. It's true that, of course, as we're going to see, Gabriel gets inserted back into many stories, as we're going to see, but that's only on the Torah Shebaal Peh level. So here, angels with names. So Daniel says, well, I, Daniel, was seeing the vision and trying to understand it. So Daniel is seeing a nevuah, and he doesn't understand the nevuah. So what happens is that Gabriel, an angel, comes out and is told to explain the vision to him. And that's what Gabriel does. Gabriel's job in this case is to explain the vision. And Gabriel is actually Daniel's major companion. He's the one that shows up the most often. He's always with Daniel. He's kind of his guide, kind of his spirit angel, I guess you'd say. And over here in Perek Yud, you also have Michael. What the other thing that you have over here, which you have pretty much, I think, come up elsewhere. I'm not sure if it comes up elsewhere. I think it only comes up over here in Daniel. You have an introduction not only of an angel with a name, but an angel that is ascribed to another country, another people. So what you have over here is the prince of the Persian kingdom. Okay? Now, this is Sar, I don't know what the Aramaic over here is, Sar Parsi, whatever. It's not referring to a physical human flesh and blood prince. This is referring to another celestial angelic being. This is the Tsar of Paras. Every nation gets its own angel, okay? And you have this as well in other places where you have a Tsar of Yavan, well, not in Tanakh, but you have a Tsar of Mitzrayim, as we're going to see. There are other Tsarim, okay? So this is where you start to see for the first time, I think, much more specific names and personalities attributed to the angels that we've seen until now. Michael, by the way, is considered our Sar. If Bnei Yisrael is an angel, it's Michael. That's what he says, who stands beside the sons of your people. Okay? So, Adkan, what we find with angels in Tanakh. I didn't quote every source. I just wanted to give kind of an impression that we have the angels who kind of accompany God. Those are sometimes classified. There's the Seraphim, there's the Ofanim, there's the Chayot, there's, I'm sure, other classes, as we're going to see. Then you have angels that interact with people and interact with the world. They have jobs, they interact with people. And then you have the kind of specific angels with names or with specific roles that they have. Okay? So that's what I wanted to do with Tanakh. Now we get into Darsh Baal Peh. Now, even before we get into Darsh Baal Peh, you have to be aware that there's a lot of books that are not in our Tanakh. They're called Apocrypha, which are books that are written by almost definitely Jewish people, but for whatever reason, there are many reasons, never made it into Tanakh, but they're studied. And you can find that many of the Midrashim that we have make a lot of sense in light of some of these books. So for example, there's the book of Chanoch. It's one of the most famous ones that I think some of these you'll find in the Christian Bible that you know, have a lot of lines in there about angels that we find echoed in our Midrashim. And it's very likely that they come from a similar, you know, ultimate root source, which is not terribly surprising. I decided not to put any of those on the sheet because I think it would be confusing. So we'll stick with our traditional sources in terms of the Gemara and Midrashim. Okay? And there's not even going to be any Zohar. That's what I mean when I say everything we're about to see is in public domain. Okay? It doesn't take a Kabbalist to find these things, and you've probably seen them and your kids will see them, and you know, we have to deal with these sources. Any questions before we continue? Okay. So here's post-biblical references. So the Gemara in Chagiga, there's a long Gemara in Chagiga that talks all about kind of wacky things like angels and the size of the world and Olam Haba and Gehinom. So in that context, Shmuel says to Chiya Barav, he says, son of great ones, I will tell you something of the great things that your father would say. So he's teaching him about the things that that Chiya, who's the son of Rav, the things that Rav would say. Each and every day, ministering angels, that's Malachi Asharet, are created from the river Dinur. Okay? It's a river that's mentioned in Daniel, but so they're created from the river Dinur, and they recite songs to God, and then immediately cease to exist. As it's stated, they are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. Okay? So Shmuel is teaching Chiya Barav that there's such a thing as angels that are created every single day, and their lifespan is one single day, maybe even less. It could be that even after they stop singing, that's it for them. Okay? Indicating that new angels praise God each morning. The Gemara comments, and this opinion disagrees with that of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, as Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said that Rabbi Yonatan said, with each and every word that emerges from the mouth of the Holy One, blessed be He, angels created, as it is stated, by the words of the Lord, the heavens were made, by the breath of His mouth, all their hosts. The hosts of heaven are the angels who He claims are created from the mouth of God rather than from the river Dinor. So here you have a machloket about the nature of Malachi Asharet. Where do these Malachim who sing to God, where do they come from? One opinion says they come from the river Dinor. Another opinion says they come from basically God's mouth. Every time He speaks, that's where these angels come from. Okay? I can't profess to know what the meaning of this is, but this is just an open Gemara. By the way, this idea that angels are born and they sing and that's their role, where else do we find that? What famous Midrash uses this to explain Sukkim in actually next week's Parsh in Parshat Vayetze, in Parshat Vayishlach, which is also Vayishlach Malachim Lefanav, when Yaakov is struggling with the angels in the middle, the angel in the middle of the night, the angel says, "Let me go. I have to go." Ki ala shachar. Why does he have to go? What does Rashi say?
He has to daven or he has to sing.
He has to sing because his time to sing is in the morning. He doesn't want to miss his time, right? That's what he says to Yaakov. That's how he convinces Yaakov to let him go. Here's another one. This is from the Midrash.
Growing up in Lubavitch school, so it's all very much about Avas Hashem rather than Yiras Hashem, right? And one of the things that we were taught from a very young age is that Makor in Chagigah of Arish Molar Nachmeni Saint Rav Yochanan is that, okay, every time Hashem is, every time Hashem says something, it emanates from his mouth, so then a malach is created. Because we are all created, B'Tzelem Elokim, therefore every time we say something, a malach is created.
Yeah.
And these are the zchiyot that we get, and therefore there was an inyan of making sure you say the words properly, because otherwise you create a partial malach and they're not able to be, you know, counted. It's a,
okay.
Very young age, that was the Sivas Hashem message.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like Chabad. Yeah. So this midrash also echoes that. B'chol yom borei HaKadosh Baruch Hu katsha malachim chadasha, v'hein omrim shira chadasha lefanav v'holchin lehem. Every day Hashem creates new angels and they sing and then that's it. Amar Rabbi Yochi Heshavti ad Rabbi Chalba v'haktiv v'yomer shalcheini ki ala shachar. So here you go. This is the pasuk that I was just quoting, where the angel says to Yaakov, shalcheini ki ala shachar, v'giyaz mani lomar shira. It's my time. Amar lei chanuka savayta lemachankeini amit mahu adin d'chdi v'yomer shalcheini ki ala shachar. Amar lei ze Michael v'Gabriel shehen sarim shalmala. So he says, oh, there's a difference between some angels and other angels. Meaning, there are some angels that are created every single day, and they sing, and then poof, that's it. And then there are some angels that are more eternal. Okay, so this is getting back to the idea that we talked to before about angels with names. Those are eternal angels. Those are angels that exist forever, as opposed to the angels that get created every day. There's two different classes. One of the themes that we're going to come back to over and over here is that it would seem that there's no one kind of angel. It's not all angels are created or exist equally. There are angels that are seraphim. There are angels that are chayot. There are angels that are in charge of nations. There are angels that are that have one job and then that's it. There are angels that are just saints. They're all different kinds. And we're going to see one. There's one source at the end that I want to make sure that we get to. So we see the variety. Another one. Imatay nivru amalachim. Oh, this is a good question. So here the midrash wonders, when were the first angels created? God creates the world. He creates the angels as well. So when are they created? So Rav Yochanan amar bebet nivru. Rav Yochanan says they're created on Yom Sheni. How do we know? Adav dechtiv hamekareh mamayim aliotav uchtiv osem malachav ruchot. So when he creates, when he separates the waters from the sky, so that's what he did on second day, right? Yeah, separates the water from the sky, creates space between them. So that's when he creates the angels. Okay. Rabbi Chanina amar behei nivru malachim. Rabbi Chanina says no, it was on Yom Chamishi. Why? Because that's when he creates the flying things. And angels fly. As it says in Yeshayahu, they have wings. So if he created the winged creatures on Thursday, on Yom Chamishi, then that's when he created angels. Rabbi Lulina bar Tvarin amar b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak ben Aldate de Rabbi Chanina ben Aldate de Rabbi Yochanan. Hakol modem shel nivra b'yom rishon klum. They definitely weren't created on day one. Shelo yomru Michael haya mutach b'drom shel rakia v'gabriel b'tzfono v'kadosh baruch hu mimadeid b'amtzao ela anochi Hashem osek kol not shamayim levadi. Basically, this Rabbi Lulina says we would never say that the malachim were created on the first day, because then people would get confused. They would think that, okay, the angels were already there, right? We want to make sure that we push the angels away from the first day, because we want to make sure that people don't come to worship the angels themselves. Okay, now the Gemara in Chagiga gets down to brass tacks about some of the qualities of angels through the qualities of demons, actually, of Sheidim. The Gemara says, again, open Gemara in Chagiga in the same area as the one we saw before. There are six things to say about demons. In three ways, they're like Malachi HaSharet, and three ways, they're like humans, the demons. So in what three ways are they like the Malachi HaSharet? Number one, they have wings, and they can fly from one end of the world to the other like Malachi HaSharet. So they can fly. And they know what will be in the future. Okay, so now we just learned something else about Malachi HaSharet, that they actually know about the future. Okay, so the Gemara says, but wait a second, do the angels even know what the future is like? So they say, yeah, they hear from behind the curtain when God reveals something of the future, like the ministering angels. In other words, when God reveals a nevuah, so the angels actually hear that indirectly. And so Shadim are the same. We can skip the other part about the way that they're like humans. Or we can just read it. The three ways that demons are like humans is that they eat and drink, they multiply, and they die. Okay, now you know that about demons. Then there are six ways in which humans are like Malachi Asharet, and in three ways that humans are like animals. So how are we like Malachi Asharet? Number one, they have intelligence like ministering angels. So now you just learned that angels have intelligence. They walk upright. Okay, so that now you learned about that as well, that they walk upright. And they speak in the holy tongue. Oh, so this is the source of right, a lot of discussion about tefillah. Ami, I'm sure Chabad has what to say about this as well, about the language that the angels speak. This has to do with whether we daven in Aramaic or we daven in Hebrew. It's said that the angels can only understand Hebrew. They can't understand Aramaic. People have heard this before or no?
Yes, yes. That's why in Yom Kippur in Kol Nidre, it's in Aramaic. Like right. These, the angels cannot hear it.
Right. It's funny. They ask the question. So, but what does that mean, though? The angels do speak, let's say, do the angels speak English? Do they speak Spanish? Do they speak French? So we usually understand that they do. They do speak those languages. So why don't they speak Aramaic? So it's usually said because Aramaic is the closest thing to Hebrew. So they get confused. If you've ever had the experience of listening to, trying to think of a good example, somebody, you know, speaking English, but in a dialect that is just so different than what you're used to. So, you know, if you knew they were speaking a different language, you might strain to try to understand what they were saying. But because it sounds like English, but it's not quite English, so it's very hard to understand what they're saying. So for us, for angels, that's what it's like when we speak Aramaic. It sounds like Hebrew, but it's a corrupt version of Hebrew, so they can't understand it. That's what I heard. Okay, other things that we can learn about angels from the Gemara. What is this? Right, so another thing that we say here about angels is that when Moshe went up to Har Sinai, so what does it say? It says that the cloud covers him. And then Rabbi Natan comes in and he says, he was supposed to enter the cloud, but not for this purpose of sequestering and purifying him. Rather, it was only to cleanse the food and drink that was in his intestines, to render him like the Malachi Asharet, to require neither food nor drink. So here we see that Malachim do not eat or drink. Okay? So we saw that demons eat and drink like human beings, but that's unlike angels. So we see here that angels do not eat or drink, which begs the question, right, about what happened exactly with Avraham and Lot. Abraham feeds the angels food. So why does he do that? Unless maybe he doesn't know that they're angels. Okay, here's another thing, an interesting thing to learn about angels. B'sha'ash ha'barach ha'dash baruch ha'adam ha'rishon ta'u bo malachi ha'sharet u'bikshu l'mar lefanav kadosh. It says here that when man was created, the angels made a mistake. They thought that he was God. Why? Because he was sui generis. He was completely unique. There was no one like him. There was no one like man when he was created. And so what did Hashem do? He put him to sleep. He put man to sleep. And then the angels knew that he was not God. Because God doesn't sleep. But here we see that Malachi Asharet can make mistakes. I think we tend to see angels in our modern parlance, we treat them the same as robots, as infallible as beings that don't make mistakes. But what if that's not the case? What if angels are not infallible? So that's what seems to be going on over here. I didn't have time to put it in here. There are many midrashim that talk about angels sinning. So did you guys see the movie Noah with Russell Crowe? So I liked that movie. A lot of people didn't like it. I liked it. One of the reasons people didn't like it was the rock creatures, these watchers. That's what they called them. So we look at that. There are these rock creatures that come and they're like kind of like angels, but they're made out of rock, and they have the whole backstory about how they came down. So that's actually from the book of Chanoch. That's the source of that. So he took the director of that movie is Darren Aronofsky, who was the son of my eighth grade chemistry teacher. He's directed a lot of movies. So he's a Jewish guy. He's got a lot of Jewish background. Actually, almost all of his movies have Jewish themes to them. His first movie, Dad, do you remember what his first movie was? I think it was his first movie.
Was it Pi?
Yeah, it was Pi, which I actually never saw, but I know the plot was basically, what was it? This guy discovered the numerical value of God. That was basically what it was. And he was being chased simultaneously by stockbrokers because they thought it would help them with the stock market, and by Hasidim because they thought that it would help bring Mashiach. Am I right?
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, yeah. So he made this movie Noah with Russell Crowe. And in there, they have these watchers. And the truth is that's based on the book of Chanoch and is very similar to Midrashim that we have about angels coming down. Basically, it was almost like a bet. The angel said, you know, we're much better than humans. So Hashem said, all right, well, let's see what happens when you go down to earth. Let's see what happens to you when you go down to earth. And the Midrash says that they go down to earth and they're corrupted, or they get enticed and seduced by the women of earth, and they become immoral. And then they get trapped on earth. They get encrusted, similar to what happens in the movie where they get encrusted in rock. That's what happens to the angels in the Midrash. There's another version of the Midrash where they actually corrupt everybody else, where they actually become like kivyachol fallen angels who feel, you know, that it's their job to corrupt everybody. So you have all kinds of Midrashim like that. Okay. I think this is the last section, if I'm not mistaken. I wanted to show you these different classes of angels again. So you have over here, Amar Bishmol Bereshit Kinei Tov Maod Zemalach HaChayim. Right, so the pasuk at the beginning of Bereshit where it says Tov Maod Zemalach HaChayim V'Hinei Tov Maod Zemalach Mavet. Okay, so Tov is usually understood as being the Yetzer HaTov and Maod is the Yetzer Hara. So here it's actually Malach HaMavet. How could Malach HaMavet be called Tov? A king brought in guests and he gave them all this great food. Anybody who gives a blessing to the king eats and it'll be good. Anybody who doesn't make a bracha, who doesn't bless the king, will have his head cut off. Hashem gave good stuff. He gave mitzvot. If you do them, good. If you don't, then you get malach amavet. So that it seems to be that's called a malach. This malach amavet. Here's more mistakes. So I told you before, you have this idea of angels that are the angels of kingdoms. So here you have the Sar Shal Rom. We'll read the English. Basically it says, who is this who comes from Adam with crimson garments from Botzra? So this is what the Sar Shal Adam is going to say. It's a parable for God's arrival after killing the angel of Rome in Botzra. The angel of Rome will err in that it is only the city of Betzer that provides refuge. Right? Betzer is the name of one of the Ari Miklat. Okay? But where did the Tsar of Rome go? He thought he was on his way to the Ari Miklat, but he wasn't. Why? Because instead of going to Betzer, he went to Botzra, which sounds like Betzer, but it's Botzra. Minor navigational error, and he'll think that he's safe over there, but he's not. That's his first mistake. His second mistake is Ir Miklat doesn't protect angels. Okay, seems like an interesting mistake to make. Over here, you have another one, by the way. This is interesting trivia. I did not know this until tonight. We now know the name of the Sar Shel Mitzrayim. I didn't know this. The name is Uzzah. Okay, what does it say? This is all midrash that says, it's actually a fascinating midrash. It says that Hashem wanted to drown all the Mitzrim, and Uzzah, the Tsar, the one in charge of Mitzrayim, basically started petitioning for the lives of his country. He said, you are called tzadik v'yashar, ve'en lefanecha lo avla v'lemasa panim. You always judge correctly. Why do you want to drown all the Egyptians? Did we drown b'nei mi'banecha? Did we ever drown any of your children? O hargumeyem b'shvil sheshiyavduben. What did we do? We just enslaved them. That's all we did. We just enslaved them. Because of that, you're going to kill all of the Egyptians? You've already taken all of their silver and gold. So the Jews have been paid for their service. So why are you going to kill them? So I saw it said that this is, I don't think this is right, but it's the source of the word familia. This is Pamalia Shalmala. Okay, I think it was a joke. Pamalia Shalmala, God called his court. So he called his court, and you see this very often, but it's always striking every time you see it, where Hashem kind of consults with his angels. Where's the first case that we find this, where God consults with his angels?
Embrace this, my brother.
Nase Adam and Salmenu.
Nase Adam.
Exactly. Nase Adam and Salmenu was one of the many places where the rabbis actually changed the text when they were translating to the Greek, because they didn't want to make it sound like there are multiple deities. But in fact, it says Nase Adam and Salmenu. And Rashi comments and says that he consulted with the angels. Actually, the angels didn't like the idea of creating man, but he did it anyways. So let's figure out what we should do over here. And there's a whole back and forth. And then interestingly, at the end, Hashem, you can do whatever you want. So finally, Uzzah relented. He said, you know what? You're right. They need to be punished, but you don't have to kill them. Why are you going to kill them? So it says, Bo'ta sha'a amad Gabriel v'lakach malben sheltit v'amad lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amar Ribono shel olam halo sheyabdu banecha sheyabud kasheh kazeh terachem aleihem miyad terachem aleihem. Gavriel actually brought out a brick from the wall, and he showed that they had been burying the babies in the wall. That's a separate midrash, and he said, you know, you're really going to have compassion on the people that did this. There's actually a very similar midrash later on where Michael does the same thing. Michael tells Gabriel to go here. This is actually what I was looking for. Michael saw that Uzzah was Malamed Sanigoria al Mitzrayim, that he was defending the Mitzrayim. So he told Gabriel to go to Mitzrayim and go get a brick from the wall. V'tinok echad mashashak uhu kebinyan. And how they had basically built the wall around a Jewish baby. And they brought this brick to Hashem to show that they were so terrible. Okay, I see it's late, so I want to jump to the last midrash over here, just to give you a taste.
It makes me think, why would Michael tell Gabriel to go get a brick rather than just get it himself?
Good question. Seems like that was Gabriel's job, the kind of thing he did. So I wanted to show you this source. This is from the Otzar Midrashim. So it's a collection of Midrashim. And this is the story of Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Shamayim when he was getting the Torah. And he goes from Rakia to Rakia. And the Midrash describes him seeing different classes of angels at every level. Now he is actually escorted by a famous angel, one of the most famous angels called Matachon. Matachon shows up in the Gemara in Chagiga, actually. He is the angel that kind of leads Elisha ben Avuya astray. Elisha ben Avuya, the Gemara says, Elisha ben Avuya sees Matachon writing down the sins and the merits of Bnei Israel. And Elisha ben Avuya gets the wrong idea. He gets the impression that this is God and that there's maybe two deities, et cetera, et cetera. But Matachon is like one of the highest angels. So he's chosen to be Moshe's tour guide of the seven Rakiot. And at every level, Moshe sees something and he asks Matatron, what is this? And Matatron explains to him. So for example, over here at the first Rakia, he sees these windows And Matatron explains, Elo achalonot hem achalonot tfila, chalonot bakasha. These are the windows through which bakashot, through which prayers come through. He gets to the second rakia, which is apparently each one of these rakiyot corresponds to a day of the week. So this is like the second day of the week. And he sees a malach, and it's called Nuriel. Okay? And he is, it says his size, he's 300 parsaot and 500,000, 500, it's 5 million. Because Chamishim Ribo, so that's 5 million angels are with Nuriel. So you see that there's one that has a name and the rest are kind of unnamed. And they're all made out of fire and water and they're all looking up. And Matatron explains that these are the malachim that are appointed over the clouds and over the weather. These are the malachim in charge of the weather. Okay? So in the second rakia, you have the malachim who are in charge of the weather. What does that mean? That means that they take care of the weather. They're the ones to blame when, you know, you wanted to play hockey at night and it started pouring.
I was just going to add, you just beat me to it, that when we do Birkat Geshem, we say, Af Bri Utat Shem Sar Matar. And the article translated is, Af Bri is designated as the name of the angel of rain.
So, but that doesn't, it's not here, right? It's interesting that they don't mention that name.
And the also comment on the bottom says it comes from two things, Af, which is anger, and Bari is healthy, the two ways that rain can help us.
Okay. Yeah, there's a whole wealth of more angel information in the Siddur that we're not going to get to. Now here's something interesting. I don't know if this is just a mistake in my Barilan version of the Yalkut Shimoni, but it says that when Moshe gets up to the third level, he sees again a Malach whose name is Nuriel, which I don't know. There's two different Nuriels, maybe. He's got a whole different size. And over here, we start to meet these other angels that are Arelim, Hamumunim ala Savim, Vali Lanot, Val Perot, Vadagan. So there's a separate class of angels in a whole different Rakia that's in charge of the vegetation, that are in charge of trees and fruit, etc., etc. So there was one that was in charge of the weather. There's one whole class, that's one level. And then there's a whole other level that's in charge of the trees, etc., etc. Then he goes up to the fourth rakia, and he sees the malachim that are in charge of the Eretz and the Shemesh and the Erech and the Kochavim and the Mazalot. So they're in charge of the rest of the cosmic universe, okay, and the planets and everything. And they all say Shira, because that's what planets do as well. They all say Shira, which is going to run through the rest. Then he gets to the sixth level, and there he meets Uriel, okay? So this is another name that we're familiar with. This is Uriel. And he's got thousands, hundreds of thousands of malachim with him also. And they're all singing. And here, actually, it says, it gets to the seventh one, which corresponds to Shabbat itself. And here, interestingly, I don't think anybody would have expected this. Which angel does he meet here? So first of all, it says he meets angels that he's petrified of them. For the first time, Moshe is really afraid. He says, "Amar Moshe leMatatron, ani mefached meelu amalachim, v'lo uchal lirot pneihem. I can't look at them." Miyad Amar Matatron v'chabak et Moshe. So Matatron encourages Moshe. He gives him a hug, and he says, "You are ahuv, and you're an eved Hashem. Don't be afraid of them. They can't do anything to you." But then, who does he see? He sees Kol Mishareo Tonafel Apanav Merov Apachet Shal Moshe leMatatron. He saw one angel that everything is, all the other angels are falling down in front of him. And Moshe says, who's that? And he says, Sha'al Moshe, Miuze Amar Lo, Samael, Halokech Nefashot. Amar Lo Moshe, Leichan Hu Yored, Amar Lo Litol Nishmato Shel, Iyov HaTzadik. Who's Samael? Samael is that Hasatan in the story of Iyov. Samael is known as basically the Malach HaMavet, the Yitzhara. Samael is the quote unquote evil angel. I don't think he's actually evil, but his job is to make people stumble. Then finally he sees angels that are in front of God, and he sees Srafim Omdim Ima'al, and he sees the Chayota Kodesh, and then he sees, we'll end with this. He sees Zagzagael. Anybody ever hear of Zagzagael? So we should have, because he's got a very important job. He's teaching Torah. I'm wondering if maybe this is the angel in the womb. It doesn't say. But he teaches Torah. Zagzagel is known as the judge because he is the Sar of Torah and Chochmah. And the Midrash ends, by the way, saying that the word Elohim itself does not always mean angel or God. It actually just means a judge. And Moshe is called Ish Elohim, not because he's an Ish of God, but because he is a judge. Okay? So I thought this was fascinating to see just the primary sources, both in the Tanakh and in the Midrashim and the Gemarot, about what Judaism has to say about angels. I think next time we'll take a look at some of the more, I mean, the job of the Rishonim and the Acharonim is to kind of take all of this information and distill it for us and to break things down. But I hope you all learned a little bit something to think about.
Very interesting.
Let's go.
Thank you so much. Very good.